The Trials of Apollo, The Tyrant's Tomb, Chapter 1. There is no food here. Meg ate all the Swedish fish. Please get off my hearse. I believe in returning dead bodies. It seems like a simple courtesy, doesn't it?
Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood, the English class that you always wanted.
Where we analyze the Percy Jackson and Heroes of Olympus books through a new theme every week.
Yay! Ava, Neve, how are we this week?
I've had a weird day today, just in that, like, yesterday was kind of a lot, and I had a very long, very stressful rehearsal, and I was up very late, just anxious energy-wise, and so today was a day off, and I let myself sleep, but sometimes letting myself sleep feels super weird, because I wake up and I'm like, am I real? You know? But applied to some fun little jobs, got some shit done around the house. Not bad. I just, you know, today's a day that it feels not real, but it's okay. Days like that be happening. But in general, I'm good. It's a little less cold here than it used to be, which is very exciting. No more negative degrees. I can actually go outside now. So that's pretty cool. And I was telling Brayden and Neve before we started, I'm on my final book as of the moment for my Warriors reread, which is exciting. I'm on book 6. Huge. And then when I'm done, I get to read real paper books again instead of books on my Kindle app that I got from the virtual library that are about cats that fight each other. So I'm very excited for my real book reemergence. How are you, Neve?
Good. I'm good. Doing good. I took a great nap today. It was so needed. I felt it building for like a week and a half. I was like, I need to get some sleep. And I finally did today, putting off all the things I was going to accomplish today, which is fine. I'll find time. Hopefully. I want to talk about the fucking Grammys because they never fail to disappoint me with the stupid album of the year award.
I don't know what happened at all for any of them. So go
I'm
nuts.
So pissed.
Midnight's won
album of the year. And I'm so sorry. I am as much of a Swiftie as everybody else. I love her music for the most part, but that was just crazy. Like that was not deserved. The thing is, she was definitely the musical artist of the year, like undoubtedly, but she got her flowers for that. And like Midnight's wasn't even album of the week that it was released. Like no one even,
it really... also came out in 2022.
Yeah.
You know, and like,
she that's not need this at all. And her other three album of the year wins were so like deserved. Like I felt made a lot of sense. Like when she, like the wins for Red 1989, I mean, 1989 was like the biggest album of
that era.
Yeah. That era. And Folklore was absolutely exactly what like 2020 sounded like. Like, I feel like everyone really gravitates toward that album as well. So this one just makes zero sense. Such a disrespect to my girl SZA. Made me so angry. It was not angry in the way of last year. I think last year I talked about it on the podcast too, that when Harry's House won album of the year, I was like pacing my apartment. I was so angry. And I wasn't pacing my apartment, but I spent today, I think I also talked about it with my coworkers and got even more riled up because they were also like, that was stupid. And I was like, right? And I
can't. Most of Twitter seems in agreement. Like, even Swifties aren't like, yeah, Midnight's won. They're just talking about the new album.
Yeah. I also learned today from, like, someone digging up an old news headline that Joe Alwyn, Paul Mescal, and Andrew Scott have a group chat, or at least have told the press that they have a group chat called the Tortured Man Club. And... if there's one thing Taylor Swift,
I thought it was tortured artist is what I saw.
Sure.
Those have very different vibes.
Very different.
If Taylor's going to do one thing, it's be a little crazy. Like,
yeah.
I saw a tweet that said that and I was like, yeah.
Not going to lie. I don't want to get too far into Swiftie discourse because I'm perhaps even scarier of the Swifties than the Barbs. At this point, because the Barbs are at least smaller after. still doxing people, but less.
Less manpower to do so.
If that is true and like that's what it is, I'm like, this is like, is it kind? Is it nice?
Right.
And I don't even believe in being kind and nice, but like, I don't know. Taylor Swift is the level of person where it's like, she is punching down no matter who it is.
Yeah, of course. And I can respect the absolute like switch up she did on every single person in the world, thinking that she was being sure that she was announcing Reputation.
That was incredible.
That was a great switch. Uh-huh. It's just, why did she win that award? She could have, because the pop vocal category, the like best pop vocal album, was pretty strange. Like there were some strange nominations in there that I was like, if she had won that, I'd be like, okay, out of that nomination list. Like it was kind of a weird lineup. But album of the year was so absurd. It sucks because there were a lot of good wins at the Grammys this year.
There were Victoria Monet.
So
it's exciting.
Boy Genius deserved all the awards that they won. Paramore won for the Spy. Yeah. That was
so about Paramore. That's huge.
I personally don't care about Twitter. I was happy about Miley's wins. I think that song is fun. I think
we're on different Twitters then.
Oh, some people on Twitter are like angry because they were like, it was like a weak interpolation song. Shut up. It was fun. Miley has deserved a Grammy for a while.
Hours.
Oh, it won something? Okay. I mean, Miley's great, so whatever.
Yeah, it she's deserved a Grammy for a while. And
yeah, I agree. She deserved album of the year for Plastic Hearts.
The Little Music podcast that I listened to today was like, they were like, every time she won two awards, and they were like, the first time she won, they were like, that was for Plastic Hearts, really, though. Like, we like this song, but that was really an apology for Plastic Hearts. But there were good wins of the night, and that just really, and I guess I could say the same thing about last year too, that like they start pretty strong and they're like, okay. And like SZA won duo performance with Phoebe Bridgers. That was very slay. We were like, all right. And then we get to album of the year and they're like, fuck all of you. It's Taylor Swift. And you're like, oh. Well, that just ruined it. And like, that's so sad.
I have a grudge against Taylor right now. It's not about Midnights, but I don't think Midnight should be album of the year because that's like
one of football related.
Yes, of course it's football related. Midnights, though, to me, is one of her worst albums. And I'm like, baby, you don't have to rush to, like, write new stuff. Like, I promise you don't have to rush. Like, I will be patient and I will listen to what you release. But no rush, darling. You know, like, do what you want. But don't feel like you need to be a content farm.
It is like, I love Lady Gaga. And she releases a jazz album that I don't listen to every other album. Like,
right.
Like, but I'm still waiting. I'm just listening to the old thing. There's so much.
That's the thing.
It's so crazy now that, like, you don't need to
keep
doing this. I don't know.
Exactly. And my grudge with Taylor, though, is, all right. So the AFC Championships, for all of you gay people listening, this is about football. And I'm a gay person talking, so that's okay for me to say. But I love and care about football so much. And I always have because I was born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland. And if you are born there, you are raised a diehard Ravens fan. And that's just how it is. AFC Championships. My team played Travis Kelce's team, the Chiefs. The Chiefs won, which made me want to vom. But it was in my city. So first of all, disgraceful, but then also there's a big issue where Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, who is also on the Chiefs, were like kicking and like throwing around our a member of our team's gear and like his helmet and like throwing it around and like mistreating like his gear that he needed for the game. Like, that's just super fucked up and like very inappropriate in a lot of ways. And like, I don't know. I'm also kind of like, we should have been at the Super Bowl. Like, I'm like, I don't want to see Miss Swift at the Super Bowl because that's just a reminder that my team won't be there. But anyway, yes, she should not have won that Grammy either. SZA totally deserved it.
Before you had other good options too. Like,
yeah, there were just like a lot of albums that
SZA was my girl to win it. SZA was my girl to win it. But like Boy Genius could have won, and I'd be like, yeah. Lana, I don't like her, but like she could have won, and I'd be like, okay.
Janelle Monáe
could have won, and I'd be like, yeah.
It's not even my favorite. Like, Age of Pleasure isn't even my favorite Janelle Monáe album, but she's just never given the credit she deserves for being. Janelle Monáe is perhaps the smartest mainstream art, like mainstream asterisk. Like,
yeah,
she's like not even super mainstream, but like she is so musically talented in a real like Jack Antonoff kind of way.
Yeah.
That is like, and she's never rewarded for it. And yeah. I'm tired of it. Because she is writing like these jazz pop symphonies, and like she's been on the cutting edge of music this whole time, and like no one is looking at her.
Literally. No. The only two albums in that whole category that I'd be like, do not give this to them, were Guts. Sorry, Olivia Rodrigo. It's just, no, it wasn't. And Midnights. And I was like, I cannot believe. Like, there were so many nominees that I could have been like, yeah, I understand this choice. Like, there was the one I wanted to win, but all of them besides those two, I was like, I would totally get it.
I'm also biased in that, like, an album that I would have picked to win didn't even get nominated, which is Hozier's most recent release.
Did it come out in the last Grammys window?
I believe so.
I don't remember when the Hozier album came out, but
yeah, me either. Because this is really late.
It like it ends like the end of August or something like that. It's like August.
There it is. I think it came out at the very beginning of September or end of. Yeah, very beginning of September.
It's like, I just know the line is around because I know that Something to Give Each Other wasn't
included,
but Rush was.
Yeah.
Like, so some of the singles off the Troy album made it. So, like, the line was somewhere in between the release of Rush and the release of one of your girls.
Yeah.
Weird. That's really weird, huh? Well...
How am I? What a good question.
Rated?
I
took us on a tangent. That's just been occupying so much of my brain today.
I just don't really have anything to say. Like, anyways, so I thought I'd be a dick about it. I'm doing all right. That's about it.
Woo.
Woo.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Oh, I finished a book. I finished another book that I really liked. Called The Ruin of Kings. It was real good fantasy, real good high fantasy, and I'm about to start the next one. Well, welcome back to Return to Camp Half-Blood. I promise we talk about Percy Jackson stuff. this week we are beginning a new book. So exciting, as always. I mean, as always, it's exciting. We're not always starting a new book. You know this if you're listening. This was just for me. The chapters 1 through 4 through the theme of reverence.
Aww.
Aww. I do believe that this week it is time for Neve to do our 30-second recap. That is actually a 45-second recap.
What?
I think we need to make them harder. I think we've been doing too good since we switched from 30 to 45.
I agree.
It's a new season. We could do a beginning now.
Switch it now.
What the? Why am I the guinea pig for this?
Well, no, it's going to stay consistent. Like, now that it's happened to you.
It wasn't a crazy.
I think it's more fun.
Sure.
It is more fun because we get
ready
to set
go.
Okay, so they hopped off the plane at LAX, and they are now in a hearse that for some reason Apollo is fucking driving. Who trusted him to do that? driving to Camp Jupiter, Meg's like, do you know where you're going? And he's like, yeah, it's that tunnel. And then Meg, they feel something land on the hearse roof. And Apollo's like, Meg, handle it. And she's like, how the fuck would I handle it? And she tells him to swerve. So then he has to. And then they careen off the cliff. And then some spirits, oh my God, some spirits help them carry the hearse. And then they get to camp. And then see Hazel, and Hazel is devastated. And that was so hard.
That was, you just like really went into detail with that first.
Yeah, the first bit.
You went like moment to moment for like the first time ever.
Funny, and I'm used to myself having more time.
Well, it'll be an adjustment. Next week we'll go back to 45. Or to you. But only Neve has to do 30 seconds
every time. It's me, then I have to.
What songs do we bring for the beginning of the Tyrant's Tomb playlist?
I'm actually really excited about this one. I picked a song off of a very recently released album. And this might be my favorite song from the album. I haven't decided yet, but it's Burn Alive by The Last Dinner Party.
Love them recently.
I so cool. Love them. Okay, I'm going to their concert in April and I'm excited. Exciting. Yeah, so I super love this song. It reminds me a lot of Hazel and also Meg. Like the chorus, I'm not the girl I set out to be. Let me make my grief a commodity. Do what I can to survive. There's candle wax melting in my veins, so I keep myself standing in your flames. Burn me alive. Come on, that's so both of them. Yeah.
I've been in really like a 90s pop punk bag recently, like the past couple months. And I chose Just a Girl by No Doubt. I thought it was just the vibes.
Yeah, I heard.
Our new character that we've introduced, she's just a girl.
I love her.
I can't remember her name off the top of my head. I already forgot it.
Lavinia.
Lavinia, just a girl. She just had kind of Gwen Stefani vibes, but like in... like, No Doubt Gwen Stefani, not racist Gwen Stefani.
Oh, I didn't know. I don't really know anything about her, so.
I'm like, Harajuku Girl era.
Oh.
Remember that? Not her finest moment. Hope her and Blake Shelton are real happy. Did they get divorced? Or did they get married?
I didn't even know they knew each other.
They've been together forever.
Romantic relationship.
Kids.
This is how little I know about Gwen Stefani. This is how little.
Do they have kids? Now that's my real question. I do need to know everything about their...
Listen, I love a celebrity couple gossip farm, frankly. I literally wrote on an audition form that they were like, what do you like? And I was like, I can tell you the entire timeline of Brangelina. I can.
You know, and there are still good things to know. As of April 2023, Cora says that they're married. That's not really helpful.
That's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago. Oh, no, they are still married. They got married in 2021, which is later than I thought, but yeah. Not... like, they've been together forever. He got divorced from Miranda Lambert in 2015, and I feel like it was right after. But
I don't know that he wasn't married to her anymore.
I've not seen kids. Oh, she has 3 children.
Oh.
But this is also her 3rd marriage.
Oh, 3rd time's the... well, let's hope.
3rd time's the well, let's hope. You know, actually, yeah, at that point.
Right. That
I can't imagine having 1 failed marriage, much less 2.
As I know. Divorce would break me. It'd be the end.
Yeah. I don't even want to go through 1 divorce.
It'd be a shell of a person.
A marriage seems like a lot to begin with.
Yeah.
There are so many steps between me and divorce.
And I'm grateful to say that.
Number 1 would be not being single at all. I am very far from dating someone. That's step one. But we're working towards the divorce, don't worry. Niamh, what's your song?
My song is Too Late by SZA, because please give my girl her flowers. Yeah. It's also just a good song that I felt like was very Hazel.
Yeah. Hazel very SZA coded.
Hazel very SZA coded. So please give SZA an award. I was literally so mad.
Now that we're transitioning into favorite moments, I would just like to express how fucking excited I am that Hazel is back. This is, she's not my girl in the way that like Piper is my girl. Mm-hmm. You know, Piper is my girl. Hazel is next in line to be my girl. You know, like she is my number two. I love her. Love Hazel. It goes Piper and Nico, depending on the day, but depending on who's in front of me, are my favorites. And then Hazel.
Yeah.
But I've yet to see her do anything interesting is the thing. Like, I love Hazel. She has so much potential and like she never gets to do anything. She has two chapters in House of Hades where she is so cool.
No, literally.
But then the rest of the book that's supposed to be about her isn't about her. Apparently this is my rant for today. But
no, but I remember when we were reading that book, we were so frustrated by it. That like clearly
such potential.
Something was supposed to happen with her in that book as like a counterplot to what was going on in Tartarus, and it just like never happened. And my girl is so cool. Like, let her do things.
Fuck Wrath of the Evil Goddess. Where is my Hazel book? Where is my Hazel book?
Give us a Hazel book.
Great book. Like, you could really write a great fucking book on Hazel. Like, she has such a rich backstory.
Exactly.
I want a book series called The Girls and the Gays and the Olympians.
The Girls and the Gays and the Olympians?
And it's Piper, Hazel, and Nico are our trio.
What about Reyna?
Reyna too, but that's not my French vanilla fantasy, but it can be yours because it's not gonna happen.
I have never heard that term before in my life.
You haven't? You never watched All Stars 4?
Not the full season. No, I've only seen like RuPaul's clips.
Drag Race All Stars 4. Valentina's catchphrase was, "That's not my French vanilla fantasy."
That's funny as fuck. Okay, love. I need to watch that season now. Wow.
It's a really good season, an underrated season of Drag Race.
Yeah.
It's the season, did you just say no?
I hate that season.
No, because this is the season that like, what? Which way do I go? Up and down, girl. I've seen people do it right to left.
Oh, okay. And see,
Jesus.
I know a lot about that season. I just haven't seen it.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot why Niamh hates the season.
The season was great up until one moment.
You know what happens. I'm not afraid to spoil for our listeners, but I don't want to spoil for you. You don't want to?
No, I know what happens.
Oh, yeah. This happened years ago. Oh. Yeah, the Manila. Naomi and Manila.
I'm a little sad about that.
Yeah.
I love Miss Manila.
If you are listening to this podcast and you haven't watched RuPaul's Drag Race,
you're wrong for that.
If you enjoy this podcast and if you enjoy Percy Jackson, you wouldn't think that they're the same type of person would be interested in.
But they are.
But they are.
Yeah.
Gay and Niamh.
True. And we are an ally to the Niamh community.
I
love it.
Yeah. And me. I'm also here.
You are also here.
It's like, oh, it's like that TikTok that's like it's like when you guys say the girls and the gays, can you say the girls, the gays, and what was his name? He was like, and Ryan or something like that.
I don't know what you're talking about, but
oh, it's so funny.
On the podcast, one of my friends in high school once said unprompted, just like, you know, despite all of this, you're probably one of the straightest people I know. And I was like, despite all of this? And he was like, yeah, like all of this, like gesturing to my general being.
Love. No, because
that's hilarious.
I don't know if you just listen to this podcast and you've never looked into any visuals of us.
Keep it that way. I'm kidding.
Go on our Instagram. You can find pictures of ourselves. We're not just voices.
No.
Surprise. Ooh. Sorry. Neve looks like she is the pop punk best friend in a movie that came out in 2002.
Yeah.
I wanted to be. So it fits.
You win.
Like, exactly. Neve could have walked out of Charmed.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
But she's also straight.
But because the thing is, you have one conversation with her and somehow you know.
Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah.
No offense, but it's like, I can just tell you're straight when we're like having a conversation.
Yeah.
Just
the way you interact. It is like the visuals are gay, but the vibe is not.
Right. And it's like when me and Brayden talk, we're like, we just know. For each other, that we're not straight, right?
Yeah.
Just in the way we speak to each other. I don't know. It's just a vibe that's there. Oh, again, we're allies to your community.
Thanks.
We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back to talk about our theme of the week and this week's chapters. All right. Reverence, where do we want to go first with these chapters? That was such a big sigh, Ava.
It was. It sounded like you were about to like deliver the hardest roast, but.
No, I'm not. I'm thinking about how like gut-wrenchingly upset Hazel was when she figured out who was in the coffin.
That was very sad.
These chapters are just filled to the brim with like different people's respect of Jason. Like with Apollo talking about how Temple Hill would never look as Jason intended it to, which pays respect to all the thought he put into like making Minor Gods feel seen. And Hazel being like, throw herself on the coffin upset. And the fact that she was like, Piper and I have to do this alone. Like, how dare you? Like, I hate, but like hate with love. when in like a book or a movie or something, someone is mad at a dead person. They're like, how dare you?
Oh, it always gets me.
Yeah.
It kills. It's, oh, well, it's. Well, okay, so it's brutal. And so that's what I was trying to say. And so that just absolutely, it got me. And it just, I don't know, it was just very clear, especially in Hazel's response and Apollo's little moment about Temple Hill, how much people respected him, which is funny because we didn't, but now we do.
Yeah.
It's funny because we didn't, but now we do. That was just great. I thought the most interesting part of these chapters, and I'm really glad that we had all four of these chapters together, was that we have this contrast of like reverence of leadership in the way people talk about Jason, who like gave his life. He was a leader. He led with kindness. We didn't like him until right before he died, and then we liked him. But like he was a good leader, like that, yeah. Like that is undeniable, and he was a good and kind person, if not a little boring. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
it's not interesting to read.
Yeah,
but,
it's
like
there's the main character of a book, but like generally.
But generally, great. And then we are introduced to these terrifying minions of this unknown new like ghost king. Character that really establishes the like way villains have minions and how different that manifests than like leaders who lead with kindness versus fear. Mm. I just thought that was interesting because like they're never like, oh, I am afraid of this person that like I work for. But like you feel it in the way of like there is reverence there in order to like garner leadership. And like it's clear that it does not come out of a place of like the respect and like, oh, I was so grateful for the kindness that he showed in his leadership. It's like either fear or selfishness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were scary.
They were scary. They were scary.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to be the Strixes again.
I thought so too, actually.
I will say, remarkably similar first chapters to the first chapters of the last book. We started off in a very similar way with like attacks from bird-like creatures in a new setting.
Yeah.
But the well-written action scene, like, these were just such well-written chapters, and I was really, I would say, I'm really proud of Rick.
I know.
Rick.
No, like, he be writing good. We're still here.
Yeah.
But, like, I was just like, wow, these chapters are such a good introduction to the fourth book in a series.
I agree.
Yeah. Very true. I also thought a lot about this, like Apollo talks about it for a little bit in the beginning, and I find it so like devastating and like interesting that so much crazy shit happens and so much like possible and potential evil comes to light in these four chapters, but the goal is to get Jason back. Mm-hmm. And like that will take precedence over anything bonkers that's happening, which I feel, just like thinking of our theme of like Apollo talks about like this correct way to send someone off. And I just, if these chapters had me thinking, especially with Hazel's reaction and like the reaction, like once they like just how much that is for the people who loved this person more than like it is for the respect of the person, obviously, but like their dedication over everything to get this coffin back to Camp Jupiter
is for the people at Camp Jupiter
and the people who were trying to get it, like, and for Apollo and for Meg and for Hazel and for all of them to feel like they did right by this person.
Yeah.
Especially
in the end, he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. It's fine for him. He's dead. But I mean, it's not fine. He's dead. But like, he's not gonna know. You know?
Yeah.
But
and
like,
no way that man did not choose
rebirth.
Yeah.
No, he's back out there right now. So like, he's not gonna know. But it will. It's for the people who cared about him, and for the people who looked up to him, and for people like Apollo and Meg and people who like they knew the circumstances and like what he gave up, like to feel like they did right by him even when they couldn't save him, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really like sad but good part of the writing of these chapters, is that like no matter how much insane shit is thrown at them, they're like, this is our primary goal, you know?
Yeah. It's hard to carry a coffin and chew bubble gum at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Run with a coffin, I think is the phrasing to correct it. I also thought Lavinia was iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, she's fierce. She's
our gay icon.
She is. I am very into like the almost sisterly like relationship that I can see developing between her and Meg. Like I just feel it. Like I just feel like they're gonna start acting like sisters, and I really hope it comes true.
I'm happy that she has someone who feels a little closer in age to her.
Yeah.
Because Apollo is a lot older than Meg, and all the rest of our characters are in, well, a lot older, I guess.
Yes.
But everyone else is in that kind of cohort of the, round 16 to 17, 16 to 18, honestly, frame Grover's even older. But now we have Lavinia and Hazel, frankly, is a little closer.
Frankly,
and that's exciting.
It is.
Give
her some peers.
I guess Joshua Tree was also her age.
Yeah.
Any more thoughts on these chapters, or do we want to do our sex moments?
Ooh. I'm good for a sass moment.
I'm good for a sass.
Took you a while to get out there. I will give an honorable mention first. Is just I did think the way that the ghouls, the vulture diapers, talked was very funny.
Yeah, me too.
Just all caps.
Yeah. I love that too.
Mine, here, I have a screenshot of it. Let's get it. I don't have a driver's license, Meg said, as if I needed a reminder that my life was presently being controlled by a 12-year-old. I call shotgun. Calling shotgun didn't seem appropriate for a hearse.
Yeah.
You do that, girl. Of course you get shotgun. Someone is already occupying the back seat.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
It's the whole thing.
My actual moment is Don LaFon was very funny. Hey, I'd love to help, Don said. It's just, I remember this appointment. Fawns don't make appointments, Lavinia said. I double parked my, you don't have a car. I need to feed my dog, Don. it just had a good rhythm to it.
It did.
I agree. Yeah. There were a lot of moments that I really loved. I screenshotted one, but I was looking again to see if I could find any of the other ones that I really loved. But the one that I screenshotted was, once again, this is probably just kind of funny to me, but I'll try to explain why. I don't know. Meg toyed with her window control, raising and lowering the glass. He described it as re with four E's three times in a row. I could hear it.
Yeah, it was I can exactly picture the amount of time it took. Yeah. It was really descriptive.
Yeah, I can hear it. So I loved that. And I'm seeing it. Oh my God. This was my favorite. Okay, chapter four. Instead, they're talking about whatever. Okay, if the ghouls had... Am I giving proper... Oh, okay. So this is when Apollo has his ukulele and he's going to strum and hopefully make them go to sleep, which is stupid. Meg burst into action, slicing an arm off one ghoul, swiping the legs off the other, but her movements were sluggish. And with the diorama under one arm, she could only use a single sword effectively. If the ghouls had been interested in killing her, she would have been overwhelmed. Instead, they shoved past her, intent on stopping me before I could strum a chord. Everyone is a music critic. That killed.
I loved it. I was that is the funniest takeaway there.
You're so easily entertained sometimes.
It's because I choose to be.
And I respect that.
Good.
Thanks.
Great way to live life. What are our offerings? Mine's for Hazel, right away. Hazel did great.
If you give
Hazel came on. That bitch, kind as hell.
Kind as hell.
Then I get, sorry.
Iconic. She wasn't mad. She was sad a little bit. But she was so nice to Lavinia. She said, I got you, girl. I understand. Get that back.
Okay, then I'll give mine to Lavinia.
Fuck, then who am I gonna... Meg. Meg vommed.
This one's for the girls.
These chapters are for the girls.
The girls, yeah.
Who do you vote off? I don't know, because, like, no one did particularly bad. I guess Don even did help, you know? Like,
yeah.
He was also funny.
Yeah. I guess I hated the visual of Vulture Diaper.
Me too. I hated the name of it.
Yes, I hated seeing Vulture Diaper written so many times. I'm talking about the words.
Yeah, the words were icky. They were very...
It's terrible in my mouth as well.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna vote off that phrasing.
And that's valid, because it was bad.
Yeah, I'm gonna vote off Apollo for saying it that way.
And you know, sometimes good Rick boy. Wins. It's like Peach Baby. Like, yes, that was the exact right
phrasing. Did he even like refer to it as Peach Baby, or did we gaslight ourselves into just calling him Peach Baby?
I think they did to start with. Yes.
I think there was it was definitely in the text, but yeah. I don't think he even like consistent.
No, because he calls
him Peaches, but we
he changed to Peaches pretty fast, but we latched on to that one.
To Peach Baby.
Oh, Peach Baby.
Grammys right now.
Yeah, you're real mad at the Grammys.
I should just stop expecting as much from them.
Yeah, probably. Honestly, your anger's on you. Lame women. That's all for this week, folks.
Jump scare. Oh my god.
That's all for this week, folks. Join us next week where we'll be discussing
chapters 5 through 8, and also, I guess, how Brayden's a fucking misogynist.
Make sure to follow us on social media. We're at Return to Camp on every platform that matters. And we also have a Ko-fi account and a Redbubble store and a website, www.returntocamp.com. And if anyone wants to call social services about my living situation.
No, someone will. Believe.
Just to reiterate, believe women. So I don't get canceled. No one clipped that out individually. It was funny in context. Yeah, bye. It's over.